Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Keeping It Cool, a climate innovation podcast. So true to the spirit of the podcast today, we are interviewing a CEO and founder of her own company, Helen Yang. She founded Clement Packaging, which is a company dedicated to revolutionizing the consumer goods packaging industry with sustainable alternatives to petroleum-based plastics. So Clement Packaging is creating compostable bamboo packaging, typically for skincare and makeup products. They're the one-to-one plant-based replacement for plastic. Helen has played a key role in shaping the clean beauty and personal care industries using her background in product development, material science, and sustainability. Before founding Clement Packaging, she was director of product development at A-Frame Brands, where she worked on talent-led, socially responsible personal care brands, including Proudly, a sustainable baby care brand founded by Dwayne Wade and Gabrielle Union. She also held product development roles at Public Goods and CocoKind, where she launched multiple skincare and home care lines, driving innovation in sustainable consumer products. Helen's expertise in chemistry, material science, and her commitment to producing ethical products has made her a recognized leader in sustainable packaging. She has been featured in Beauty Independent, Global Cosmetic Industry Magazine, and other industry publications for her insights on the future of sustainable beauty and packaging. Helen holds a Bachelor of Arts in Chemistry and English and Comparative Literature from Columbia University. I'm really excited to talk to Helen today because she talks about not only her company and how they're revolutionizing plastic packaging, but also her journey as a founder, particularly one creating a material product. So if you're interested in entrepreneurship and you're interested in actually creating something physical that you can hold with your hands, I think this episode will be super interesting for you. And she has some insights that she's taken away from her 2+ years running this company. So without further ado, here is my conversation with Helen. Hi, Helen. Welcome on the show. Thanks for being here.
Yes, thank you for having me.
I'd love to ask you just to start off, what inspired you to start Clement Packaging?
Yeah. I love this story because I come from the beauty industry. I'm a chemist. So I spent many years making the formulas inside, lip balms, moisturizers, makeup, things like that. We put so much care into the ingredients and the safety and toxicity, all that. And then we'd go and put it in a plastic bottle that would end up in a landfill somewhere. And I've been guilty of pressing a button and buying hundreds of thousands of plastic bottles. Knowing that some of that was landfill bound, I was like, there has to be a better solution. I'm a chemist, teamed up with some material scientists. So that's what inspired me to bring the whole clean beauty philosophy into packaging.
Amazing. So for our listeners that might not be as familiar with makeup or skincare products, you're creating basically a compostable replacement for the bottle or the vessel that a lot of these things come in, right? So like the plastic that would be around lotion or a skincare product or makeup. Is that right?
That's exactly it. Thank you for that. Yes, we work on a one-to-one replacement for plastic components, and we can dive into all different kinds of materials. I think in consumer goods, you see glass, metal, plastic, all of that. But really, it's the unrecyclable petroleum plastics, the ones that are too small to recycle or that we know are the wrong color for recycling and end up in a landfill. That's our target. So we make a one-to-one replacement for that. It's plant-based, using bamboo and lots of good stuff.
Yeah, that makes sense. So one thing I wanted to ask is why focus on bamboo as the foundation for compostable packaging?
Yeah, this one's a personal story. So I grew up near Shanghai. At that time, it was a lot of rice paddies and cornfields still out there in the suburbs. But I would be on my way home from school as a kid, and I'd see these piles of burning bamboo. And that's how they did and still get rid of a lot of excess bamboo. If you've been to southeastern China, you know, there's tons of bamboo. It's everywhere. Grows really fast, so it's very renewable.
Yeah.
But the excess just gets, you know, if it's too small for construction or the wrong color for furniture, that just gets incinerated, which is both wasteful and has a lot of emissions. So we wanted to upcycle it into something else.
That makes sense. Totally, I've heard that bamboo grows like a weed. Maybe it can be considered a weed. So it's cool that you wanted to take that and make it into something where it has a second life. I'm curious what stage the company is at now. Where are you in your founder journey?
We're about 2.5-3 years in. We are a bootstrapped company, which is exciting and hard at the same time, but we're bringing a lot of newness into an industry that has a lot of different packaging choices already, but we're really leading the way in something that's only make sustainable compostable materials. So we don't mix it with a plastic. We don't even do recycled plastic content. It's only compostable. So early stage, but bringing a lot of innovation into the space.
Amazing. That's really impressive that you've bootstrapped. I feel like, you know, it can be difficult to go on that journey for a lot of founders. So you kind of touched on this, but I'm curious, there's a lot of different types of packaging out there, even more sustainable options. So I'm curious how Clement Packaging compares to both the existing alternatives in the packaging space and some of the more sustainable ones. How are you competing with other brands out there?
Yeah, great question. I'd say first off, we focus on getting away from petroleum sources. So we only use renewable sources. So I think in that category, we are different in the sense that we can carry liquids. So that's what we spent maybe 5 years on, honestly, working on the patent, because paper is already compostable. Paper is already from a renewable source.
Right.
So that's already, there's definitely options out there. And it works for, I don't know if you've seen like little lip balms in paper, sometimes deodorants, but isn't going to work for your shower gel, for example. So that's how we set apart from that space. We kept the compostability, but had to find a balance between durability as well. But I think compared to the larger landscape, I think often some materials get demonized, maybe even plastic gets demonized, but sometimes it might be better in terms of carbon footprint, sometimes glass, sometimes metal. So I think it's really the application that matters, and we can dive more into that if you'd like.
Yeah, I'm curious what you mean by that, why certain materials get demonized, and kind of another thing too that I was wondering, maybe it should be a separate thing to talk about, is just the end-to-end carbon footprint of creating this packaging versus some of the alternatives.
Yes, for sure. We can hit both points. I think firstly, with this whole landscape, I think often in at least the beauty industry, we might say, hey, I want to get out of plastic. Let's get into glass. That's fully recyclable. Let's do that. But then that has a bigger shipping footprint. It's very heavy to ship around the world.
Exactly.
So there are pros and cons to everything. Metal is another one that's very recyclable. Doesn't work with a lot of formulas if your formula has clay in it. And then our material, awesome. It's plant-based. It's compostable. Doesn't work with alcohol, like isopropyl alcohol. So doesn't work with hand sanitizers. Works with oils and waters and all that good stuff. But we might be a better choice for something that is too small to be recycled. Whereas if you're looking at a very large gallon jug, maybe it's better to go with something that can be recycled. So there's lots of those use cases where are you refilling? Are you not? Are you recycling? Are you not? But composting has its time and place, and we are a very good fit for certain applications, but I don't think any material in the space is inherently good or bad from a sustainability perspective.
Right. That makes sense. Where are you sourcing the bamboo from, actually?
Yes. So we source everything locally. We're privileged enough to be in China and have our own manufacturing facility, which we worked hard to, we're actually moving into a new building now. So thank you. Yes, that's all very exciting and sometimes unique. Often packaging goes through a contract manufacturing, but since we have our own, we can control our supply chain. We source bamboo from local suppliers. We have them powderize it. That's stuff that they would have thrown away, and we upcycle it. So we source everything from the same province that our factory is in.
Nice. And you kind of touched on manufacturing here, but I am curious, what is the timeline for brands to acquire packaging? How does this fit into their existing production workflows? Can you tell me a little bit how you integrate with brands that might want to use your product?
Yeah, for sure. Timelines are luckily actually quite similar to if you go out and buy a plastic bottle versus our material. Sometimes we take about 8 to 10 weeks from when someone places an order to when we ship out. And that's because, you already hinted at this, we use existing methods, i.e. injection molding, blow molding. So a lot of the machinery is the same, and we had to adjust the formula and the settings and all that, of course, but that allows us to plug into the existing supply chain without really a change for process and timeline for the buyer.
Got it. That makes sense. And so companies are able to order samples of this. How are you building awareness of it, and how can they try it out?
Yes, absolutely. I think right now we have a lot of word of mouth, which is exciting, but anybody can actually go on our website and order a sample so they can touch and feel and see, oh, wow, compostable packaging actually can have a nice luxe feel as well. It can hold my formulas so people can feel free to order a sample and then reach out to us for more information.
Cool. That makes sense. How do you communicate to customers that are using your product that it is compostable and they should be composting it? Are you doing any engagement with them? How do you kind of measure that?
Yes, that is huge for us because we want consumers to know, hey, this brand took the time to choose something that wasn't petroleum plastic, doesn't have microplastics, for example. We need to shout that from the rooftops. So often that's three ways really. One way is we actually emboss our packaging to say compostable. We do not use the chasing arrow sign. We want it to be explicitly clear that this is not recyclable. Please don't put it in your recycling bin. And then the second way is to have the brand reiterate that with instructions on their label, on their carton, all of that. We want the consumers not to, we would rather them put it in a landfill trash rather than contaminate a recycling stream, which is still working for other materials. So those are the two main ways. And then thirdly, I think a lot of beauty brands do a really good job of the social media on their websites of disposal instructions. It's nice if the consumer doesn't have to separate 7 different things. It's really nice if it's all compostable and all one material. But that's how we get the word out to the end user.
That makes sense. So you kind of talked about working with the brand with their packaging. What have your experiences been like working directly with brands for this?
Yes, we're so excited to work with brands who care. I think not only about the sustainability piece, that's huge, right? Is it from plants? What's the end of life? But also from a safety perspective. I think what doesn't get communicated to a lot of customers is what exactly is their packaging material made out of? Is there BPA in the lining? What is actually in there? Whereas there is a culture and regulations of listing out your ingredients that are in the formula, right, for the end consumer, but not the packaging. So I think it's been really exciting for us to work with brands who care not only about the sustainability, but also the human safety side of things. And they really are willing to change things up. It's not easy to change. If you already have a product that's on the market, it is objectively more work to do the right thing, to come and try a new material. But that's also allowed them to really stand out in their segments and their niches. So we love working with brands who are ready to switch it up.
That makes sense. And I'm just curious what kind of feedback you've received from the brands that are using your packaging when they've switched over. Has it been easy or challenging for them to switch over? Have they had to do a lot of marketing and customer education? These are kind of things we talked about, but I'm just curious the brand's perspective that you've worked with.
Yes, for sure. I think it's always work to switch to a new material. I would say we've had very positive reception from the brands and users. They're very excited to see that this exists. I think most of the world does not necessarily have composting knowledge or know that there's an alternative to what's conventionally in their households. So positive reception, everyone's excited about it. I think one other aspect about the reception is that a lot of this is regulation driven. We have a lot of brands come to us and say, hey, there's about to be EPR fees. There's about to be X and Y taxes, or even in some cases, hey, I'm in this retailer and they're charging me for using this plastic packaging that can't be recycled. So a lot of brands come to us from that perspective of, can you help me with this last piece? Can you help me get away from this so that I can be compliant with retailers and regulations? So we also have brands come from that perspective to us.
That makes sense. And you kind of mentioned that brands are finding you via word of mouth. Is there any like feature on your packaging that mentions Clement packaging, or are there other ways that they come to you? Or is it really just, you know, from other brands seeing it on the market and wanting to do something, or maybe even looking up what could be a sustainable alternative for packaging?
Yeah, for sure. We have a lot of people come to us through, whether it's a beauty brand or it's a manufacturer who we love working with. But we try to keep it pretty quiet on the packaging. We really want to shout that it's compostable, and we don't put our brand name on it unless it's a special collaboration. So we try to make this as similar process-wise to buying a glass container or a plastic container. It's just that we really want to highlight the innovative material. So we keep it pretty quiet in terms of that branding, but folks can still find us online for sure, or at trade shows as well.
That makes sense. Have you found a lot of your clients through trade shows? What's the experience for you of going to those?
Yeah, trade shows are always crazy. I'm sure I can have a whole chat with anyone who's been to those. We had LuxPack recently where the compostable piece really stood out. A lot of people came by our booth, but I'd say that a lot of our projects have actually been custom and not necessarily, hey, I see your straight-sided jar that you had at your booth, can I buy that? We have that as well. But so many of our brands come to us and say, hey, I have this, I love my glass jar, I love the glass chassis, but the lid, that part is plastic and I know it's ending up in the trash. Can you help me design something that fits the glass? Something that just, it's just that last mile that we need help with. So we end up having a lot of those projects as opposed to, let me just come to your website quick, buy, you know, lip balms that are ready to go. We do a lot of custom work.
Oh, that's so interesting. Would you say that you think the direction of your business is going to go more in the custom direction or creating more of these standalone products for brands?
Yes, I think we will go custom. That's actually surprising for me as a founder. I did not expect that. I'm used to coming from a world where I go to a supplier, a packaging supplier, they have a 30-page brochure. I can pick and choose which kind of pump I want. So we are actually going to focus more on tailored bespoke stuff because that way we can make sure that the end of life is correct. But we also will be expanding into a lot of small items, small components like minis, travel sizes, samplers. I love those. The beauty industry loves those. We're not getting away from the small items and we need that. But those are the ones I think that are often the largest offenders sustainability wise. So we will still be expanding our offering in that direction.
Yeah. One thing you mentioned earlier is just a challenge in terms of customer education when it comes to composting. I'm just curious what you think like the norms are with people that are composting in the US and, you know, does that influence how they use your product at all?
Yeah, for sure. It's so varied here in the US. And I think for a little background, we have customers all over. And I definitely see a difference when I'm speaking to brands in Australia and Europe versus here in the US where we are. In the US, you probably experience this too, Lena, but like in San Francisco, we have composting bins, curbside, just as easy as recycling. I heard they're rolling it out in New York. Is that right?
Yeah, we have a variety of different composting options in New York. Some are good, some are bad. We don't need to get into it. But yeah, there's composting on the street. Some of our outer boroughs have composting at your homes, but they do a number of different types of composting here in New York, which I find pretty interesting. There's like composting, actual composting, and then composting where they burn it to make energy. So it's definitely something that even the city is exploring. So I can imagine that it would be difficult for customers to really understand a lot of these nuances and, you know, dispose of things correctly.
Yes, you said it. I think if it's even that complicated already in cities, we see that there's no composting in other places, right, of the US. So sometimes there's access, sometimes there's not access, sometimes there's too much access and it's confusing. But I think to sum that all up, it's important for us to make sure that our consumers and brands are just making the most sustainable choice. I know that's vague, but it's like, hey, are you comparing this jar? Are you going to compare this material to like a 50% PCR, post-consumer recycled plastic jar? And if this is still less footprint, if the plant-based makes a difference and you can make it mono-material, maybe it's still a better choice, even if it ends up in the landfill, for example. So we encourage brands to make that kind of analysis, like worst case scenario, even if this doesn't get composted, is this still a more sustainable choice than some other material? So that's one way we try to filter through it.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Cool. I am curious for you, what is next for Clement Packaging? Are there any milestones you're hoping to hit over the course of this year, upcoming years?
Yes, for sure. We have lots of stuff in the works. Right now we offer, I think we mentioned injection and blow molding, but what that actually translates into is we have rigid jars, we have twist up sticks, think deodorant sticks, and we also have bottles for things like serums. But as you know, every day we use so many different packages. We have a squeezy toothpaste tube at home. In the shower, you're using pumps and all of this. So we are trying to expand and cover all these formats because a lot of those things end up in the trash. So Clement Packaging, we're expanding into different, we're getting flexible materials, we're looking at different dispensing options, all to help replace landfill-bound plastic waste.
Amazing. That's so exciting. And I know it can be difficult to start a company, particularly in the materials space. I think we see a lot of founders that are more software-focused. I come from a software background. Those kind of startup costs are pretty minimal. So I'm just curious, any advice that you have for people that are interested in starting a company, particularly when it's a physical product? How have you bootstrapped your company and any advice that you have there?
Yes, yes. It is definitely hard. I think, especially being in San Francisco, I'm surrounded by a variety of founders, and many of which are in the tech space, and it's so different. So let me know if anyone listening wants to chat or chat with other beauty founders who also had these challenges of doing physical goods. I think it's a whole different ballgame. But I would say advice-wise, I am growing slow and steady, and that's with physical goods and classic manufacturing, we have to buy injection molding machines that are so expensive. So some of those costs, I think we cannot avoid, but it is also very rewarding to have tangible products out there. I can walk into a Sephora and see something. So that's been huge for me personally.
Yeah, amazing. Is there anything you did to de-risk some of those investments that you needed to make?
I would say we focused on revenue very early on. I didn't quit. I was doing this as a side project when I was working as a product development expert at other beauty brands. So I was keeping my kind of chemistry day job and doing this on the side as long as I could. So very classic story, just kept doing that as long as I could, worked on the patent in that space and did not quit until we were about to have revenue, no matter how small. So I just pushed as far as I could on that path.
Amazing. Well, this has been super insightful. It's great to hear about your story, your journey, and what you're actually making. If people want to get in touch with you, is there a preferred way, LinkedIn, email? I'll leave whatever that is down below.
Yes, absolutely. Both are great. I'm on LinkedIn a lot. So if you can message me there.
Perfect. I will leave your LinkedIn down below so people can get in touch if they're interested. But thank you so much for coming on the show and answering all my questions. It was super insightful.
Absolutely. Thank you, Lena.